Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your great and mighty love with which you have loved us. We give you praise for your Holy Spirit that you have so generously given to each and every one of us. Thank you for what your Spirit is doing within us and among us. We give you all the praise. Thank you for understanding. Thank you for light. Thank you for conviction. Thank you for blessings. Thank you for direction. Thank you for faith in your Son that is arising in the heart of everyone, even more and more. We give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. All right. So we've been talking about the believer's worship. We started talking about it last week. And last week we explained to ourselves about the concept of worship. We're still going to drive more in that direction today and throw more light into that. I just want us to reason with me, open your heart, let's get into God's word together and see how we're going to be blessed today. So we clarified last week, maybe because we're going to touch on that, let's leave last week's clarification and go straight into the point today. You see, the Greek language, all right, because I have a lot of thoughts I want to cover today. Typically, my note will be one page, but I've got three pages. So I just want to go straight into it so that we can save some time and get to an end today. So the Greek language has several distinct words that all get compressed into one single English word called worship. I'll say that again. The Greek language from which the New Testament of the Bible has been translated, all right, has got several distinct, different words, all right, that the English word compressed together, all right, as one word called worship. And each of those Greek words carries its own unique weight and meaning. I want to say that first. All right, we're going to see them today. You know, let's drive more. Worship, as translated from Greek to English, carries more depth than the single English word called worship is able to convey. What I'm saying is that in the Greek language, where we've translated the English Bible from, all right, the word translated worship from the Greek has got couple, all right, of words that the English word just used one word, worship, for. We're going to see some of them today, all right? And in the Greek, each of those words, you know, they are distinct and they have different weight, different meaning, different nuances that is communicating, all right? Such that if we don't study God's word, if we don't go back and really pay attention, we just classify everything as worship. Let's pay attention as we travel this morning. And as a result of this, much of the richness, much of the weight of the original concept is lost in translation. And it happens in languages, in languages. All right, where we don't have enough words to communicate, you know, to translate words from another language, and we just packed everything together, all right, as one. Whereas in the language where that word is coming from, all right, it's got different nuances. And I want us to pay attention today as we drive. So when you read the word worship in an English Bible, and this is not about English or Greek or stuff, it's just for us to understand that it is peculiar to every language, all right? Where there are some things that are peculiar or, you know, that are popular in that environment that we have words for, but here it's not as popular, all right? And as such, we don't have words for them, all right? We just use a word, one word that is particular, that covers or that is closer to it or closest to it, and just give some general practices, all right? That is what we have seen when it comes to worship. I'll take that again. So when you read worship, in an English Bible, we are often, please pay attention, losing the specific nuance the original author intended, whereas the Greek will tell you the exact word, the exact nuance, the exact meaning he intends or is intending. Are we together, friends? Praise God. So what we're going to do today, why I said I want us to get straight into it, I want us to see some of those words. You will see them in the English Bible, all right, translated as worship, all right? But if you go to the back of it, the Greek word that has been translated worship, it won't be the proskuneo that we've seen last week, all right? You will see, so I've highlighted four major ones, all right? And we're going to just pick one of those today and just go into it. So that when you say worship, you're not just, and may I make you know that in all of those nuances, in all of those, you know, nuances of the Greek for the word worship, you won't see songs. There's no song, all right, or singing. We're going to talk about that in the course of this study, translated as worship, all right? So that we know exactly what we're doing when we say we are worshiping God, all right? The reason we can still use that word because there's no other word. There's no other English word for it. But by the time we begin to open it up, you will get to know exactly what when we say, because the, please, can we project the believer's worship? Do we have the slide? The background for the top, for the series? Just for... So when we say believer's worship, we know that it's different from the worship Jesus has done on our behalf. We're going to see. We know that none of us is dying. None of us is going to God's presence on our own. We did that last week. We've seen that Jesus did that on our behalf. He actually came before God, all right, and worshiped and presented himself. And in presenting himself, Bible says, having obtained eternal redemption, he entered into his presence and offered up himself and offered us up to him also. Praise God. Let's see those nuances in, you know. So number one is the word proskuneo. It was about the wrong time. I will now need that slide. Forgive me. Peter, Joy, you guys are the best. You just forgive me. Praise God. Oh, okay. Is that the slide? Did you copied it, right? Okay, that's fine. We work with that. Praise God. So we have the first word, proskuneo. I did some more aesthetics to it, and it's praise God. All right, so we have the first word, proskuneo, and that's the one we've seen. All right, and that's the most popular word translated as worship in the Bible, in the New Testament particularly. Now, the Hebrew in the Old Testament too has got a shade of it that is translated, but we are the same thing actually, but called Hebrew word, but we are focusing more on the New Testament translation of it today. So we have the word proskuneo. We've clarified this, that it means to come before, all right? It means to bow down. It means to kiss towards, to bow down, present a gift. In other words, it means to pay homage. It talks about respect. Hallelujah. Which we said Jesus did on our behalf. That the reality of proskuneo is Christ. We said Christ is that true worshiper. All right? That worshiper is the true... And we said it's not just worshipers, all right? As worshipers, that the word is proskunetes. All right? That is the singular, one man. In fact, that the meaning of that word is a worshiper. Not many worshippers. John chapter 4, verse 22 and 23. All right? It is a worshipper. Particularly, actually, it's the worshipper. Jesus Christ. Proskunetes. And that when you see the plural of that word worshipper is proskunetai. Hallelujah. So we have the 60 times. 60 times. All right? But then you're going to have some other words. Should we do this? Let's see. Still on proskuneo, the word is a verb, all right? It's an action word. Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. Let's read Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. I want us to travel in God's word this morning. Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. Look at it. It says, saying, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. So worship him here will be that word, proskuneo. Proskuneo. All right? Matthew chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. Please don't lose the thought. Follow. Let's learn and grow in God's word today. You know, we all know the story of Jesus, the temptation when the devil came to tempt Jesus, all right? And he said, that's the devil, all right? The devil. He says, and he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down. Again, you can see, fall down and worship me. If you will fall down and worship me. All right? Then Jesus in verse 10, we say that, and when would you say that? For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and only him you shall serve. So that word worship there is the word proskuneo. Amen. John chapter 4, verse 22 and 23. John chapter 4, 22 and 23. Look at it again. All right. This was the major text last week. All right. It says, you worship, all of those is proskuneo. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jew, verse 23. He says, but the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshippers, we've clarified that word worshipper actually is a singular, the true worshipper, all right, the real worshipper will worship the Father in the Spirit, all right, which is the truth, all right? Don't say in the Spirit separate from the truth. The Spirit actually is the reality of that worship. Hallelujah. All right. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. Meaning that is the plan of the Father. That is the intention of the Father. Hallelujah. Now, like I said, we have 60 appearances of that word proskuneo. Now, if you read all the 60, we'll be here till evening. So I'll pick three. Now, the second word that is translated, so we're going to need that a slide again. All right. The second word translated worship. Don't forget, we have a lot of them. I've just picked four. All right. Just for the purpose of this study. The second word translated worship is the word sebomai. Let's learn together. Okay. We are doing it so that we can be if I will say this, then it will be better. Have you met anybody that bears Sebastian? All right. Yeah. That's the root word. That's Sebastian, all right, is the name of a person, okay? But the root word here is sebomai or sebazomai, all right? They are both verb, all right? And what it means is to revere. Now, we're getting to the lesson today, all right? Because in proskuneo, Jesus will do that. In fact, let's say that better. Jesus has done that. And with Jesus doing that, he creates the basis. It gives us the platform for all other worship to be accepted. Hallelujah. All other worship to be accepted. But look at this. Also, we're going to read scriptures. And we're going to read scriptures now. All right. It means to revere. It means to venerate. From where we have the word venerable. Or where you have the word reverend. To revere, a deep sense of esteem. All right. So when we say we are worshiping God, we are getting there today because we're going to hammer on that word today. All right. That talks about our reverence, our honor, our esteem, deep respect, deep honor for God. It is to honor. It means to devote, to be committed. All right. We are all getting to know that is worship. Hallelujah. Let's read scripture so that we can see. Amen. Matthew chapter 15, verse 10. Matthew 15, verse 9. Pardon me. Matthew 15, verse 9. Look at this. Look at that. It says, and in vain they worship me. Now, that word translated worship there is not proskuneo. Are you getting the point? All right? That word will be sebo or sebomai or sebazomai. All right? Meaning they venerate me. Oh, they, you know, he says in vain they are doing that. But that word there is not the proskuneo that we talked about last week. All right? But then it's still translated worship. Hallelujah. All right? Are we together? Please don't let the Greek word bore you. If you notice, I'm not hammering on the Greek word, all right? Just so, because we need to get to the bottom of this so that we know. See, Jesus, some people were worshiping him, all right? But he's saying it's in vain because apparently, see, they were teaching as doctrine the commandment of men. They don't even know what they were doing. They were teaching, now, they were teaching from God's word, but yet God is saying it's in vain. Okay, so what he's saying there is these people, they revere God. All right, it's not the case that they don't honor God. These are the guys that before they can wear a shoe, they must polish, they will clean everything. You know, this, but they were doing it, but Jesus is saying, hey, no, it's in vain. Hallelujah. All right, let's read some more. Hallelujah. Now, you know, what I expect this study to do is to spur you to study more. You go and check some of these things and see that worship, the reason you can't just use concordance, worship means worship. It's not true. All right? We have those nuances in the scripture that carries different some weight, some important things, all right, that we must know. Let's move on. Acts chapter 16, verse 14. Acts chapter 16, verse 14. Look at it again. Acts chapter 16, verse 14 talks about Lydia. All right? Now, a certain woman named Lydia had us. She was a seller of purple in the city of Thyatira. Look at that word again. Who, now this will be the verb, okay? This will be the zebazomai, okay? Who worshipped God. That's not proskuneo. All right? How many of you, we've talked to ourselves about the Blue Letter Bible, all right? Please, you need one. It's a very good Bible tool, all right? It helps you to know the nuances of the... So this is not talking about, you know, proskuneo. We're going to see some more, all right? But it says he worshipped or she worshipped God, all right? Now, that worship, that would be she revered God. She's got a lot of honor, a lot of, honor. She's a devoted woman. She worshipped God. Hallelujah. Let's see some more. Now, this Zebomine occurs about 10 times or 15 times, all right, in the New Testament Greek. Praise God. Hallelujah. About 10 times more. Acts chapter 18, verse 7, then we're going to read verse 13. Acts 7, then we're going to... Okay, let's do this first. So, it departed from there. Thank you. He departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshipped God. All right? So here again is Zebazomai. All right? Look at it again. So when they were accusing Paul, all right, in that city, that's where Paul came, he was teaching them wrong doctrine, and I'll see how they put it again. All right? He says, so in verse 13, they were going to accuse him, saying, this fellow, that's Paul and his team, persuades men to worship God contrary to the law. All right? That's not proskuneo there. All right? That would be, he's teaching us to honor God, just faith in Christ Jesus is okay, or something. All right? It's zebazomai. Hallelujah. Now, let's move on quickly because these are just introduction. I just want us to see the different nuances in the Greek, and all of this has been translated as one word in English, all called worship. Now, we have another one that is, again, very popular. It's about, it occurred in the New Testament Greek about 21 times or more. Again, it's a verb. All right? So we're going to need the slide again. Okay, praise God. Is the word latrio. Forgive my pronunciation. I'm not a Greek man. Praise God. We're just doing this for the purpose of study. All right? So we have don't hear what I'm not saying. So it's not latria. Okay? And it's a noun. Okay? Now we have the latrio, that is the verb. All right? So one is a noun, and another one, again, they are just words of the same family, all right, and they have the same nuance. But look at what it means. It means service. Service. All right? Service. Christian duties. Hallelujah. Praise. Now, we're going to hammer on all of these one after another. Praise God. Now, it means to serve. So that's the noun, all right? That service that you render, all right? Your Christian duty. That is worship. Hallelujah. We're going to see some scriptures now, all right? It says to serve or to minister to God. So when you serve and you minister to God, it says that is worship. To render a sacred service to God. That's the verb. Hallelujah. Let's see scriptures about that as well. You see again, Acts chapter 24, verse 1. Acts chapter 24, verse 1. Acts 24. Is that Acts 24, verse 1? Okay. We'll come back to that. All right. I must have missed that. But we'll come back to it. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. Philippians 3, 3. I'll find that scripture for you. Philippians 3:3. See what it says there? It says, for we are the circumcision who worship God. Again, pay attention here. This worship God here, this word worship, all right, if you go to the Greek translation, that's not proskuneo. That's not zebazomai. All right? That would be latria. All right? It means that we serve God. We're going to bring more light to all of this. Praise God. Let me find that scripture. That scripture in Acts. I must have missed in my translation, in my writing it down. Praise God. Give me 1 minute. I'll find it. I'm just consulting my Blue Letter Bible, okay? Sorry? Is it 24:11? 24:14, actually. 24:14. Apologies for that. 24:14. I'm going to correct that in my notes. Praise God. Look at this. All right. But this is Paul, you know, making a case for himself. He said, but this I confess to you, that according to the way which they called a sect, he says, so I worship God. So I worship the God of my Father. Look at it again here. He says, so I worship. Where's that word worship? All right. So I serve God. Is it making sense to us, friends? All right, so I worship God, all right, and I serve God. Now, that worship there will be latrio or latria, depending. So that'll be the verb, all right. I served God, praise God. We're talking about the believer's worship, amen. Let's look at one more. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 2. Look at it. He was talking about the law, you know, the shadows and all of those. See what he calls it. He says, for then they would not have ceased to be offered. Talking about all the sacrifices they were offering. In fact, he calls all of those sacrifices. Look at it. It says, for the worshippers. So the worshippers. Now, these worshippers here is different from the worshipper, proskunitai, that we saw. This would be the latrio, people that are serving. Hallelujah. All right. So it says, for the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sin. Praise God. Let's look at one more. So we said latrio or latria means to serve or to minister to God, to perform a sacred service. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at this last one before we just drive a little bit more today. It's the word Uzebai. Amen. We are just pointing all of this. You see, let me just digress a little bit and talk about this. I don't want us not to enjoy this study. All right? See, this is how people were being taught in the New Testament. Because we don't have a Bible school. We say, oh, this is for Bible school. Says who? This is for believers. Hallelujah. So we know our faith well. We know the different nuances. Like I said the other time, do you read your preface? I've read it before. Not just because if we have been handed over the Bible, you know this preface? All right? Great, you know, that was dedicated to King James himself. Have you read it before? You should read it. It's not Genesis, it's not, you don't quote, but it's just good to read it. All right? Do you know that your Bible actually states that they added some italicized words to make it convey the meaning? You know, it's there. All right? You should read it. All right? So this is the one that was written to the king. It says, to the most high and the mighty Prince James, by the grace of God, King of Great Britain, France at the time, all right, Ireland, defender of the faith. You should read it. So the authors that translated this Bible, the Bible from Greek, all right, King James commissioned them to do so. And praise God, they did. Hallelujah. All right? Before you say, oh, the translators, oh, they did a very fantastic job in the time they did it. Hallelujah. That was what made, see, we are building on their work. So we can say, oh, they did error. Okay. But bless God for them. We'll talk about that later on. So you should read that. Then, depending on the translation you're using, then they will have preface. They will tell you the different sentences or things that they did, the italicized words, the one in parentheses. It's there. So we are not just plucking it from somewhere that, oh, some words are in italics. We can read it. The authors, they acknowledge that. Praise God. That's how we study the Bible. All right? So we have this word, Eusebi, is a noun. And we have, of course, if you notice this, it's coming from that same word, zebazomai, and all. But this one is, the word ill there is outwards. All right? External. Let's look at that. It means godliness. That's the noun. All right? To be godly. To be holy. So that's the verb now. It's when we talk about godliness, because we're going to pick on these words in the subsequent week, that it is your worship. It is the believer's worship. You can't just do, it doesn't matter. God expects you to be godly. It's your worship. It says, it's you, I live, hallelujah. But we can sing in a worshipful way, no doubt, all right? But then, this is what the Bible translates calls worship. Godliness, holiness, to be piety, to be like God. People shouldn't have an ambiguity whether is he a Christian, is he a believer, we don't know. No, you must be godly. We're going to talk about that in the subsequent week. All right? Now, the verb of it that will be usable will be to act it. We will see you being godly. Your yes will be yes. Your no, meaning you will be like, you will act, you will show devotion. You will be godly. That is worship. All right? Now, because in fact, even the word that we've translated, worship, you call it praise and worship and all. Worship is not necessarily songs and crying or and tears. Now, that can come from a place of worship, no doubt. All right, but that's not necessarily. We've seen it now. We've seen the nuances of, you know, Jesus, the proskunitai. Okay, we've seen zebazomine. We've seen latrial. We've seen which one again have we seen? We have seen Eusebi now, and all of these ones they are being translated worship. But let's see quickly. Acts chapter 17 verse 23. Acts 17:23. Let's see that rendition of the Bible that calls Uzebai worship. Acts chapter 17, verse 23. Look at it. When Paul went to Athens, he saw them worshiping an unknown God. All right, let's save the details. He says, for as I was passing through and considering the object of your worship, all right, I found an altar with an inscription to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship, this one. All right? That won't be proskuneo. That won't be zebazomai. That won't be the latria. All right? Again, it's been translated worship. All right? But this one is, now, before you harass this Athens guy, but you know, by calling it worship, you know, we don't really see what they're doing. But here is, they were godly. They were moral people. They were like God. They were acting like God would have acted. That's what I'm trying to say. They won't cheat you. They won't, all right? But yet, he calls it worship. So it is worship. Praise God. Now, we're going to stop on those four, okay? And just pick on one today. One. Just one. And it's the very first one, that is the zebazomai. All right? The zebazomai that talks about reverence for God. Praise God. Praise God. Now, let's do this quickly. Let's do this. Because why are we doing this? Why are we tearing it apart this way? We are saying that because we live in an age, we live in a time, all right, that, like I've said, worship has become a song. There's nothing wrong in song. We can sing in a worshipful way. Singing can come from a worshipful heart. Hallelujah. All right? But then, because we run the risk of just doing that and thinking, that's enough. And leave the service part of it. Let me not call it service part. It's a nuance of it. Leave the acting like God, godliness, holiness part of it. And leave the reverence for God. I want us to talk more about the reverence for God today. The big question is, do we really honor God? That's the question today. Because that's, don't forget, what's the topic? What are we looking at? The believer's worship. So the believer's worship will be reverence for God. Honor for God. Are we together? All right? Because we're going to pick on all of those nuance of the word worship in the subsequent week. But I want us today, do we really revere God? Do we fear him? Are you God-fearing? Because that's what God expects from us. All right? Jesus was telling those folks that, you know, in Matthew, we're going to read Matthew again. All right? He says that in vain they reverence. So it means that God wants them to revere him, to honor him, to fear him, not with terror, but, you know, to stand in awe of God, to honor God. Hallelujah. And I'm going to get some slants in our church as well that shows what we need to do, all right, that I've seen as a pastor that we need to improve on our reverence for God. On our reverence for God. On our honor. Because that will be our worship. That will be what God desires from us, requires from us. He's done everything. He's presented us spotless before the Father. We can't stand before God and do how we like. All right? What God will ask of us, all right, is that we revere him. Just like you don't walk, I know we don't have that structure here. Everything, you know, seems to be very flat. But you don't walk to the presence of your director or the governor. And you want to comport yourself. All right? Because you are in the presence of someone. You revere that presence. Hallelujah. All right? It's not the time to check your phone or something. I'm going to be that particular today because it's part of our worship to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because I want to worship God. You better know what it means to worship God. We had better know, and I'm talking to myself as well, that we cannot afford to take God for granted. He has forgiven us. He's loved me and made me. He's on. Very true. Absolutely. We've seen it in God's word. But look at it. We said it's a life of reverence, a life of service, and a life of devotion. That is the believer's worship. Hallelujah. Let's read again. Chapter 15, verse 10 and 9. Because zebazomai, the nuance of zebazomai, of worship as zebazomai, all right, it gives us what God truly desires from his people, what he truly wants from his people. That is the believer's worship. Not worship as we know it today, but to revere God. Look at it. See. All right. He says, and in vain they worship me. Teaching, please, can we do 8 and 9? Apologies for that. 8 and 9. I want us to read verse 8. I want us to see the point. Look at it. These people. He says, these people, they draw to me. See their issue. See the issue. See why Jesus was telling us that their worship is in vain. He says, they draw to me just with their mouth. All right? And honor me. See, can you see that word honor? All right? With their lips. But their heart is far from me. Did you see the point? All right. So what God wants is a heart and a heart and a mouth that honors him. All right. And he will now call what they are doing. They love him and all. He calls it zebazomai. That worship, he calls it vain. Hallelujah. Praise God. So what God wants from us, particularly, all right, is that life of honor. The life that reverse him, to be devout, all right, and to stand in awe of God. Not just a Sunday thing, all right? No. It's an everyday thing. It's a posture of your heart, all right, that governs your entire life and decision. All right? It's not what you do or what I do when everybody sees me. All right? It's in your heart. All right, the honor you have for God when in church, do it in church. We like to see you do it. We're going to talk about that. But most importantly, when nobody is there, do we really honor God? Because that is worship. That is reverence. That is to venerate God. We're not talking about fearing God. Ah, God will kill me. God will not. But do you know, if you see someone that you honor, someone that you venerate, someone that you revere, you stand in awe of that person. That is worship. That is the believer's worship. Hallelujah. Let's see some more. So what is this reverence? I did some definition here. What is reverence to God? Or this zebomai? What is it? Pay attention. I will take it slowly. A sense of acknowledgement that God is not on our level, is above and beyond us, is a sense. All right? Because we can get used to God. You know, because the way, the hyper grace and all of those puts it, that God has forgiven us. And it's true. He has forgiven us all our sins. All right, so it's true. It's not going to count the sins against us. It's true. We're not going to perish. It's true. But I tell you, you know, there's no reward for sonship. There is reward for service. Because sonship, we didn't do anything. To become his sons, all right, to be saved, we just believed. We didn't do anything. But the reward is for service. The reward is for honor. The reward is for venerating, for honoring, for referring, for to reverence God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, the point I'm trying to make us see is, see, it says it's just with their mouth. People are just, I love you. Are you really true? Do you really mean that? Amen. Let's get to the details. A sense of acknowledgement that God is not on our level. All right? You know, I've had managers, directors that I know that I'm older than. But I never made it a bit. One day, make it difficult for them to lead me. It's so clear that I submit to them. Even in the office. All right? Now, in my former church, everybody knows, all right? People lead prayers and all right? But we've got someone that has been appointed to do it, all right? Now, there's no doubt, and I'll say it clearly, but I know better than that person, all right? And so it will push me, not push, it will present me, that's a bit, to lead higher, please, all right? But I make sure that every time he will be the one to wrap up the meeting. Please come, let's, all right. Now, it is honor. I will never talk bad about him anywhere, even when he's not there. It's a posture of a heart that we are not on the same level as far as that setting is concerned. Now, as far as God is concerned, his ways, Bible says, is far, far than ours. All right? So we cannot afford to treat God anyhow, because he expects respect, he expects honor, he expects reverence, he expects venerating, all right, from us. Hallelujah. It's above and beyond us. A conscious, another one here, a conscious recognition that we are before the Almighty God who spoke the world to existence. Every time, we must have that consciousness, that recognition. Hallelujah. That we are before God. We are before God. Hallelujah. Okay? That we are before God. Praise God. It's a posture, you know, at times I see believers. I say, I stand in awe of you. I stand. He's checking Facebook, Instagram. In awe, holy God. What do you think you are doing? You are saying something, your action is showing otherwise. You stand, you are sitting, you stand. You are upstanding. The king of the Great Britain cannot walk here. Everybody will stand. And here we are before God. We stand. When it's time to stand, we stand. When it's time to lift our hands, we all do it. Not to anyone, but is a consciousness, an awareness that we are standing before God. Hallelujah. Like I said, I'll be very particular. You know, praise God. I talked about punctuality to service. We said we're going to start 10. And some people will come in, 11, 10:30. That's not reverence. That's your worship to God. Why can't you just block the 2 hours and just give everything to God? All right? Praise God. Punctuality. All right? Your attendance to church, in church meetings. You know it's worship. You know it's honor. You know, someone will say, our pastor is doing this so that people can come to. Well, I want you to come to church, no doubt. But I'm particularly telling you about your relationship, your worship to God. It is your worship to God. It is that you come. Why? God told us in his word that we should not forsake the assembly of believers. All right, you honor that word. You respect the person that you honor, the person that you revere. All right, you want to obey his words. Hallelujah. All right, attendance, amen. I wrote here. I said, with the slightest inconvenience, just excuse church. Now it's understandable. There'll be times when we can't just make church. But you want to ask yourself, what are you doing? What are you using that time for? Is it really particular? Is it really critical? Are you at home watching Netflix or doing things? Or are you even at work sending emails that you can just clear that time for God for? You know, God watches all of those things. It calls that honor. Can you just push yourself a little bit more as a form of your worship and reverence to God? To come and obey his word, to do his biddings? That is the believer's worship. Before you come and we lift hands, and it's fine. It's like I'm against singing songs. It is part of it. But songs, as you've seen, there is more to worship than singing. There is more to it than singing. It's a posture of our heart. Amen. I pick on another one. Okay? We said, come to church with your Bible. You know why? I at times I behave as if I don't see. In church, people are checking Instagram. Where do you think you are? What do you think you are doing? Can you not wait? Instagram, when the word of God is going on? Facebook? in church? Come on, we can do better than that. And that's one of the reasons. Using your phone is not wrong. I've told us many times, it's not a sin. But it's just, you just want to venerate God. You just put it aside. Because you are in the presence of God that will judge everyone. And he says that he watches those, he calls those things the worship of him. And you know, when you do that, you know, you don't only just distract yourself, you are distracting others because I've seen it. But because I know this person is an he or she is an adult. I don't want to talk to him or her about social media in church. He may be offended. But you know, you've distracted me. Hallelujah. You've distracted the other person from worshiping. Praise God. Zebazomai. Reverence for God. We're talking about believers' worship, right? We must do it and get it right. We must do it and get it right. Hallelujah. As a church, praise God. Amen. All right. I wrote, you know, phone. You know, it's okay to use a phone, but honestly, we've told you our preference. We prefer you to come to church. At least get a tablet, get a Bible, okay? So that the idea is for you not to be distracted. The idea is for us to show honor to God. It's not someone being particular. If you don't do your phone, then we have to do. It's not a sin, but it may become a sin. All right, if you just choose to just disobey. Now, there are some cases. Pastor Wally was here the other day. He used his phone. He preached. Funny enough, he's the one that taught me. But it's okay. Praise God. All right? But then, you know, but I get it. Maybe he's traveling or something. If you note, if you he teaches, you know, in Yoruba language, he uses his Bible, maybe because of travel and stuff he chose to come with. It's understandable. Hallelujah. Praise God. But please tell your friends and, you know, don't do Facebook. Don't do social media in church. Please. Say it. No social media in church. No social media in church. No. We can do it after service. All right? No checking of Liverpool. Whether Liverpool. I got to know that. Ayo, Goke, you are a Liverpool man. I didn't know. Where have you been all this while? I didn't know. I used to know myself and Michael and Tony. Hey, we are getting more. We should get recruits. Maybe you are talking about we should venerate God. Let's venerate God. But you get the point, friends. The idea is that we must honor God. We must venerate him. All right? We're not talking about fear. He will kill me. If I come to church with my phone, it will knock my head. It won't bless me. It's not true. But as your, with God or with all that he has done for us, we want to give him honor. You want to prioritize him. Let me drive faster. All right? I said giving. Giving. Do you give to God? All right? You know, again, we've clarified it. All right? We need the giving. We need funds, no doubt. All right? So I'm not going to pretend or tell. But do you really give? Okay, if you check your giving or your givings in the last year, do you really give to God? I'm talking about money. All right, yeah. So that you think it's plantain and coconut. You don't want plantain and coconut. Eat your coconut at home. Praise God. You get the point. I mean, these are the things that we do that shows that we honor God. You know, God is not even asking for it. All right, though he told us to give cheerfully, he told us to give generously. All right. It's not bad if you separate a percentage that I will give to God's work. All right, and I just want to make clear, we don't get paid for this. And it is my prayer that I will do this at no charge to anybody. As my honor, as my reverence to God, I will burn the midnight candle. I will stay because he will reward me. He will. I'm not doing this for, okay, to be paid. I'm working hard, all right, to get paid. All right, so it's not for that, but it's a show of honor to God. So it's good to give. It's a worship. It's zebazomai to God. Let's take some more. I told her I'm going to be particular. Because I read your word fast, for example. All right, obedience, right? You know, it's not just I telling us that. It's God wanting us to know him more. You know, I was reading Exodus this morning, all right? And I've read Exodus many times, and I'm still wondering, how did these guys miss it? As soon as they left, Egypt, about three days, you know, those are the things you do, okay? So it's not even now. And I was noticing the solution God gave them. They want bread, or the first thing they complain about is the water. It was bitter or something. He said, he turned it, he made it sweet. The next time, all right? And all of those solutions is a symbol, typifies Christ. Water, bread, sweet. Christ is the solution. When we get to our Exodus study, we're going to see all of those, okay? So obey God. These are not rules. We're not trying to make it law. If you do it, then if you don't do it, no. It's just a show of reverence and honor to God. Praise God. You know, there's this one. It has not happened in this church, but I've had it in Christian settings before, and I thought to bring it up. Someone says, I don't want to be in that department again. They don't appreciate my service. Huh? You think you're doing it for day? I don't want to sink there again in that department. I want to go to another department. They don't appreciate my. They don't appreciate us. We will say thank you. All right, but it's God that blesses. It's all that we do. All right, to arrange. Someone leaves his house very early in the morning to set up all of this. All right, it's honor to God. We're going to get to that service, the latrial part of it. All right, next week. All right, it's honor to God. All right, so you don't do it, out of a sense of entitlement. They don't appreciate you. No, that shouldn't be our attitude to what God has done. All right, for us. All right, again, this one is very particular. I still saw it today. Talking while we pray or praise God. You are talking to someone that you'll be praising God. You yourself should be praising God. When it's time to pray, we should all be praying. It's honor. So when we say no distraction, it is honor. It's not because, I know it will not always be perfect. Okay, I know we need to. But it is honor to God. All right, that you don't call someone, it is prayer time. All right, people are praying. Give me prayers. Let's give thanks to God. And you are going to someone that should be talking to God, talking about irrelevant things. No. It can wait. It can wait. I'm being particular because I want these things to change. I want us to improve on our reverence for God. When it's time to pray, all of us, we are praying. When it's time to praise God, all of us, we are praising God as our show of reverence to him. That is the believer's worship. That's the believer's worship. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. So I wrote here quickly that reverence to God or reverence for God is not an option out of many. It is the believer's worship. It is the posture that God desires from us. That's all that he wants from us as our worship. All right. Not cows. Not cocoa. I don't know where cocoyam is coming from this morning. Not coconuts. All right. Not crying, Lord, I love you. But then we don't see you in church. But then the last time you gave was maybe 3 years ago. But then the last time, you weren't distracted. You don't. Do you really love him? You remember the question I asked? Do we really honor God? All right. We can improve in our honor for God, no doubt. And my challenge to us this morning is that we improve. We put these things to mind and we grow in our honor for God. So it's not an option. God desires it. God requires it. And God deserves it. He deserves it. Hallelujah. All right. Reverence to God is the lens through which we must view every compartment of our life. Every. When in church, when not in church, all right. Even if you are going to disagree, it is still out of reverence to God. So I can't call you names. So say you are, I can say you are blessed. All right. You can only be blessed, right? It is reverence. That's the lens through which we see every compartment of our life. Don't say, I want to send this email, but can that email not wait for 90 minutes? Can we not just separate that time and just come around and go back again? All right? Will weather be the issue? I don't want to give us stories. See, we won't have time to do all of this. All of this. We won't have time to do it forever. Ah, I know what I'm talking about. We will not have the time to do this forever. We will not have the time to do it. It's a space of time, for the time cometh when no man can worship God again. When all of this wouldn't matter. I was telling someone, you don't want to tell, you know, a 94-year-old woman or man to go on evangelism. He's tired. He's at home. Whatever he has done, he has done. He's waiting for his reward. Hello. Maybe you could pray, or she could pray. But when it comes to active service, praise God, drumming, packing stuff, he can't do that again. But you know there's reward for all of those. There is reward. I play the keyboard. I do the drums. I set up. You know, it's honor to God. God says that he looks at it. Praise God. How we need to run. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Hebrews 12, 28. Let's look at it. Enough of the talking and pointing out people's things. let's read the Bible. Read the Bible. Pastor, we've had. Praise God. You know, we just have to point it out, okay? We just have to talk to ourselves and show that we honor God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 20. Look at it. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Can you see the point? We've come to that kingdom that doesn't shake. All right? See what it says? Let us have grace by which we may serve God. Again, we're going to come to that word serve, okay? That word serve, again, all right, is worship. That's latrial there. We may serve God acceptably. How do we serve him? With reverence and with godly fear. That's how we serve God. That's how we serve God. Hallelujah. All right? Is that an instruction? When you say let us? That's an instruction. Let us. We should obey that instruction. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. He says, I'll tell you the conclusion of Ecclesiastes 12, 13, I believe. All right. He says, maybe 12, 12 or 12, 13. He says, I'll tell you the conclusion of the old matter. He says, fear God and obey his commandments. You know what he calls it? He says, this is the old duty. 12, 13. Oh, I got it. All right. Let us hear the conclusion of the old matter. He says, fear God. Please let me tell your neighbor, fear God. And keep his commandments. He said, for this is man's all. KJV says, this is man's duty. He said, look at it. He says, this is man's all. Everything. Man's all. Hallelujah. Reverence. Just some few more points. Reverence will produce transformation. Reverence produces transformation. When reverence is real and genuine, it will change you. All right? If you reverence someone, it will change you. You will be transformed. True transformation comes from honoring God. True change. Through growth. All right? Through it comes from honoring God. Because I just honor him. I don't want to be in his bad books. I don't want to, you know, I just honor. It's just like loving someone. If you truly love someone, it will change you. Yeah, it will change you. Hallelujah. If that person, I don't like you coming late. I don't like you doing this. All right, you want to change because you love that person. You will insist that, what you do your shoulder like this. What do you mean? My friend, do your shoulder very well. Praise God. Reverence. All right, we'll truly change the man. It will truly change the man. Hallelujah. That's where true change. So it will reshape your priorities and your destiny. Let me point us to something very quickly. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. We're talking about worship, okay? Worship and the nuance of it that is zebazomine or zebomine, that means reverence, to revere, to honor, to respect, to deeply esteem God. Look at Jesus, see what he did. You will see, though you won't see that here, but you will see that honor, that reverence to him. He says, please, can we do the King James version? The Amplified. Amplified puts it better. Praise God. Amplified puts it better. See what it says. Let this same attitude Look at it. Let this same attitude and purpose, all right, and mind, humble mind be in you, which was in Christ. He says, let him be your example in you. Now that humility, can we say in reverence, in worship, in honor, all right, in venerating God, all right, although being essentially one with God. Look at that, all right, and in the form of God. You could have said, nope, Ayo is on his own. He stole the banana. All right, but he didn't do that. All right, he came all the way, all right, possessing the fullness of the attribute which makes God God. He did not think it. All right, this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained. Did you see? He let go. He was humble. All right, Jesus gave us that example of that's how we revere God. All right, so reverence, as I wrap up, reverence is the engine that drives worship. Reverence is the engine that drives worship. When we revere God, all right, we sing with grace, we sing with concentration in our hearts, we sing with all focus on Him. That's why I'm particular about our song. We're still going to improve on that. Hallelujah. That if focus on God. All right. Now, we're doing a good job. Please. By all means. Super. All right. But we're just going to make ourselves more conscious of that fact of what He has done for us. We'll be that particular about our God and what He has done. Praise God. All right. So we sing with grace with our heart. We do all the things in the name of Jesus. Our giving of thanks flows from the heart that knows who he believes, that knows who he's singing to, that knows who he's. We're not just singing, you know, absent-mindedly. No, when we sing, we mean every letter of the word, of the phrase, of the lines of the word that we are singing. Hallelujah. As we go today, I want to give us three points challenge, all right, as we go. So what do I do with all of this? You want to examine your heart. All right? Examine your heart. If your reverence for God has drifted or has shifted, maybe money or work or career or family, all good things, all right, may have made your reverence for God, for his work, for his service, for honoring him to have shifted, well, you want to make a decision today to redirect it. You want to redirect that reverence. You want to, Lord, I stand in awe of you. Hallelujah. Number two, I said number one, what's the challenge to us today? You examine your heart. Check yourself. Be sure. All right, am I taking God for granted? When last did I pray? When last did I, we are not carrying a guilty conscience. No, we're just checking ourselves. All right. Number two, you want to practice reverence to God every day. You want to practice reverence to God. Practice reverence to God every day. Set aside time to simply acknowledge Him every day. Who he is. There's no agenda. At times in the morning, I just wake up. All right. I just sit. Nothing. I'm just sitting. I'm not even meditating. I'm just thinking God. I'm just thinking of what he thought about. I'm just, and out of that, I just start singing. No agenda, no request, no prayer point. But just to practice that reverence every day, it will drive you. It will cause you to know how big and mighty our God is. Praise God. The last point is let your reverence be seen and known. Number one, examine your heart. If your reverence has drifted or shifted, make a decision today to redirect it. All right. Number two, practice this reverence to God every day. Set aside time. All right. Just stand in awe of Him. This is how we bath and sustain reverence. Number three, let your reverence be known. Let people know when I'm praying, you can't talk to me when I'm praying. You can't talk to me when I'm worshiping God. It's not a time. Please, can we do this after service? All right, I say that to many people. After church, all right? Deliberately, my phone is just off. All right, in church, deliberately, all right? Let it be known, all right? The way you speak, the way you love, the way you serve, your attendance in church, your priorities, let it show that you revere God, that you claim to worship. Hallelujah.